Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is End of Life Options New Mexico board member Mary Kay Brady from Deming, New Mexico, to talk to us about the Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Options Act. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
I am so pleased to be here, and I have some really wonderful information to share with your listening audience.
Thank you. The Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Options Act will become into effect in New Mexico today, June 18th. Who was Elizabeth Whitefield?
Elizabeth Whitefield was a very popular federal judge in the Albuquerque area for many, many years. And sadly, she became very ill with cancer. She testified at several sessions of the legislation process in attempting to gain approval for medical aid in dying in New Mexico. Sadly, she died in 2018 before this legislation was passed. Her husband continued working on her behalf.
And what does this legislation mean to New Mexico residents?
This is a marvelous piece of legislation that is evidence of the compassion of a large group of people in New Mexico. The law was signed by our governor on April 8th, and this will give people the freedom for another end-of-life option to end their intractable suffering from pain, from difficulties of just living. It will provide a procedure to request medication that can lead to their peaceful death. We are the 11th jurisdiction in the United States to have this law, and our law has taken the benefits of the other jurisdictions and made it easier for people to access.
Tell me about how this process got together with the legislature and Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and others.
Well, this has been going on since 1995. In 2016, End of Life Options New Mexico was formed, a grassroots group with a steering committee of about 25 to 30 people. They were clinicians, they were social workers, they were John Q. public citizens like myself. And we began assisting Representative Debbie Armstrong and Senator Liz Stefanik. It appeared in the legislative body several times, and in this year, we were successful. We were joined this time by our own local Senator, Carrie Hamblin, who supported the bill through the legislative session, as well as Representative Dan Hoffman Vigil. Out of this, the coalition now is disbanding, and we are forming End of Life Options New Mexico, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation that will continue this very important work. Our mission is to provide information and support for all end-of-life options, including medical aid in dying. Well, this is just one more option for end-of-life. You know, COVID has really changed our attitudes about death and dying. We all faced it. Families all across the country have had to deal with death and dying with their family and friends. And so this is one more option for end of life. You know, we have the right to refuse treatment. We have the right to ask to stop treatment. We can do a process called VSED. That's an acronym. It means voluntarily stopping eating and drinking. We can deal with a palliative care physician and ask for palliative sedation. All of those are end-of-life options. Medical aid in dying is just one more option to ease suffering at end-of-life. Interestingly, when I talk about end-of-life suffering, for the people in the other 11 jurisdictions that have utilized medical aid in dying, very few of them are believing that it is a way to escape their pain. That's not really the reason. 96% say that they have a decreased ability to enjoy life. They have a loss of autonomy, a loss of dignity, and a fear of being a burden on their family, the loss of bodily control. Only 29% feel that it was to escape pain. I know one physician said that he knows his patient is ready for medical aid in dying when they say, I'm just tired. I don't want to do this anymore.
A physician knows then when a person is ready to die. But who qualifies for this procedure?
In New Mexico, you must be an adult, 18 years of age or older. You must have a six-month diagnosis of a life expectancy. And this is determined by a clinician, 6 months or less to live. You must have the mental capacity to make a decision for yourself. You must be able to prepare a written request to obtain the medication, and you need to be able to self-administer. The written request must be signed in front of two witnesses. The two witnesses need to be people that know you and are able to make a statement that they are personally known to you. They have signed this request in the patient's presence. They confirm that the patient seems to be of sound mind and under no duress, fraud, or undue influence, and neither of the witnesses can be a healthcare provider of the patient.
What is one of the fallacies about end-of-life choices? Do people think this is suicide or they're taking their own life?
Oh, Emily, sadly, yes, there are people that will say that. And my response is that people that utilize and are so pleased that this legislation has passed and is available, they really want to live. They don't want to die. They really want to live, but because of whatever disease they have, they're not able to live, not the quality of life that is what we all want. You'll hear people talk about it being physician-assisted suicide. In most cases, the physician isn't even involved. He's made the statement that the person is terminal. Suicide is an emotional reaction to something, generally somebody that has a mental illness. There are safeguards in the legislation that will assure that this is not physician-assisted suicide. It is not suicide. Part of the legislation even mandates that on the death certificate, the underlying cause of death will be what is reflected on the death certificate. Utilizing medical aid in dying will not affect insurance contracts, any payments that are due like that. It is not suicide. It is medical aid in dying.
And what challenges do you foresee in bringing this information to the public?
Well, you know, our law is really taking the benefit from the other jurisdictions. We are a rural state in many areas, and in most states, it takes an MD or a DO, a medical doctor or a doctor of osteopathy, to make these decisions and do the paperwork. We have added to the mix advanced practice nurses as well as physician's assistants. Many people in our rural environment don't have access to an MD. And so having these advanced practice nurse types, nurse practitioners, is really going to help. The biggest challenge we face is outreach and communication, because just as in many of our areas, we're very rural. We also have wide stretches of New Mexico that are not heavily populated. So spreading the word beyond the boundaries of Albuquerque, Santa Fe is a challenge. And it's one of the reasons I spoke up and represent, or will attempt to represent fairly, Las Cruces. And as you mentioned, I did live in Deming for 35 years. So I have an attachment to Deming and Columbus and Las Cruces, and bring some of that information to the people here. We also have Spanish-speaking volunteers that will be able to communicate with some of our bilingual folks. Sadly, that's not me, but I've got buddies that'll translate.
And they can also find information on your website.
Oh, yes, indeed. EndofLifeOptionsNM.org. EndofLifeOptionsNM.org. And our partner, Compassion and Choices, is the largest and oldest nonprofit organization specializing in information about end-of-life options. And there is a plethora of information on their website specific to New Mexico and specific to end-of-life documents. One of the things we're proud of is that we assist people in doing advanced care planning. If you have an advanced care plan, you are in much better shape, paper-wise, legal-wise, and even just mentally, to know that your end-of-life wishes will be honored. I consider it a gift to my family that I have a living will, I have made a statement, and have a health care surrogate or power of attorney. So if I'm unable to speak for myself, this individual can speak for me. I have all these papers in one place. New Mexico also has a form called MOST, M-O-S-T, and that is a medical order for scope of treatment. It's recognized by all clinicians as well as our emergency people if you were to call 911. It is a wonderful document. Additionally, many people have heard of Death with Dignity, and that is also a public forum and where information is available, deathwithdignity.org.
What other fallacies do people have about end-of-life help?
I think probably fear is number one, the fear of asking a question, of not understanding what happens, how we die, because it's all sterilized. We put everybody in a hospital or in a corner of a nursing home. And death and dying can be a beautiful experience. I've been at the bedside as my husband lay dying, and I said to him, "It's okay. It's all right. I know you need to leave me." And shortly thereafter, he breathed his last and died. And it was beautiful. Our son was there. And it was the family, the three of us. My mother died in a similar fashion. Isn't that lovely? Not writhing in some sterile hospital room. My heart breaks for the people who had no choice during COVID to be isolated from friends and family. I just think it's a wonderful opportunity. And with medical aid in dying now, you can have your memorial while you're still alive. Have all the friends and family there. Have talks. Giggle. Play music, bang bongo drums, whatever it is that makes you happy, and share those experiences with your loved ones. As your loved one is health failing, look into palliative care and perhaps hospice care. Most people would rather die at home, and they can do that and have hospice care. Hospice is a wonderful service. They'll provide medical equipment. They'll take care of any medications that you need and keep you comfortable while you're going through this transition from life to death.
What was your passion for getting involved with this organization?
Well, you know, I started my volunteer career way back when I was 16, and I was a candy striper in a hospital. And I think I have continued that all along in one capacity or another. When I was in Deming, I was involved with the Alzheimer's Association. And I watched families being torn apart by dementia and related diseases. It just seemed like there was a need for people to have choices and have options at end of life. You know, death is something we don't talk about. And I get annoyed by the euphemism that my husband passed. My husband didn't pass. I didn't lose him. He's not in the mall somewhere. My husband died. And I think it's time that we use the language that describes what the situation is. I don't want to see anybody suffering and struggling. You know, in the past, in our pioneer days, people died at home, and it was a human event. I'd like to take the medical out of dying. It is a human event, not a medical event. And in the other states, it is a volunteer group that is helping with these people. The original, of course, documentation has to come from a physician. You and I can't look at someone and determine that they seem to have 6 months or less to live. But after that, it really needs to be the people. One fallacy I'd like to interject, if I may, Emily, is that it's not a pill. So I wouldn't want anyone to think that they're just going to be able to run to the store and get a pill. It is a very specific, well thought out, formulated, compounded medication. There is nothing with medical aid in dying that's remotely like suicide. It's not violent. It's very peaceful. The client swallows this cocktail. It's a formulation of medication, as I had indicated earlier. It's mixed in apple juice and water. I know there was one client that mixed it with a little brandy, and swallowed the cocktail. And within a very short time, 3 to 5 minutes, they're asleep. They become unconscious. By average, they pass peacefully with a smile on their face an hour to 2 hours later. It is a beautiful, peaceful experience for the client as well as their loved ones. There's no writhing in pain or anything else.
I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this very important subject. End of Life Options New Mexico has become into effect in New Mexico today, June 18th, the Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Options Act. Thank you, Mary Kay Brady, board member of End of Life Options New Mexico.
You are most welcome. It has been my pleasure.
For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.